Great to have you with us. You can join us at any stage. 1-300-736-736, the number. You can text 0433-98-1116. We're going to speak to Steve Monoghetti in the next 20 minutes. We're going to speak to the leader of the Scott Palmer Medal, the coveted Scott Palmer Medal. Mitch Cleary is the man that's leading that. He'll get us up to speed with the trade news. Melbourne United, by the way, leading the Clippers, 20-14 in the closing stages of the first quarter. Hutchie be going nuts. Nick Riewoldt, now what we said, well, those last 3 days of the trade period, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, there'll be that much stuff going on that we won't be able to cover it, you and I. Well, let's get Rui in for 2 hours so we can be right across everything. And he said, yeah, 100% I'm in.
Yeah.
So he's here for Orbit Logistics, Freight and Supply Chain Management. He's sitting here.
Loaded.
Righto, what have you got?
Loaded, he said.
Oh, yeah, loaded. Just like I'm a big horse racing man, I'm absolutely loaded with trade news, absolute gold.
There's no trade news.
Well, that's the issue. Because like when you went to school and you're in year three and they said, okay, you've got a project. You've got a project that you've got to do and you've got 2 weeks. When did you do it?
Night before.
Morning of.
Night before. So, of course, if they give the clubs 2 weeks to go and do all this stuff, they're going to wait till the last moment.
Do you reckon they all just took the weekend off because it was very, very quiet over the weekend?
You'd have to, wouldn't you? You'd be bashing. Because a lot of the conversations, from what we understand, are quite protracted and frustrating. And one group thinks they're getting a really hard deal. The other group thinks they're being really reasonable. So, yeah, you'd have to take a weekend off. Well, you'd go mad. You'd go absolutely crazy.
Well, your club's holding it up at the moment.
No, they've been very, very proactive trying to get all these deals done. And from what I understand, being very reasonable too.
We want to talk to you about...
somebody's got to you.
We want to talk to you about why St Kilda, after a year where they sacked their coach, let's be honest, didn't really look like challenging for September action, have all of a sudden become the hottest destination on the planet.
Mm.
Why?
Well, I think opportunity is a big one. So you look at some of the players that might want to come across. So 5 players that have been linked to the club. So Dougal Howard's one, which from what I'm hearing, that should get done today.
Yep. And he's a cross between Peter Knights and Ross Glendening, Dougal. Yeah.
Is that right?
He elevated himself from someone that we didn't know, which is not to say a lot, but we didn't. Well, we knew he had a lot of talent.
It's funny how the comparisons get made this time of year.
Well, that's what we said. He got dropped at some stage in the last month, and all of a sudden he's turned into Cooter, we reckon.
I played with a player down at St Kilda who, when he got drafted, and they say, oh, who do you play like? His answer was, I'm a cross between Cyril Rioli and Lance Franklin.
Hang on.
We said.
He said this about himself.
Yeah, that's right.
A cross between Cyril.
Yeah, I've got a bit of Cyril and a bit of Lance.
Which bit did he have most of?
No, neither. Neither.
Who was it?
I'm not going to tip him in.
Did he say this with a straight face?
No, he actually... He might have been because he never played a senior game and he didn't get to show it.
0433-98-1116. Who is the player who was drafted by St Kilda who said to Rui, I'm a cross between Cyril Rioli and Lance Franklin and never played a game?
Never played.
Tell us who that is.
No, he didn't play. Well, so he said, oh, really? So you're the best player of all time, mate. So who was Dougal Howard? What's he a mix of? Who's,
he's Cooter.
He's Glenn Denning and...
No, Cooter. Well, he decided he's turned into Cooter because he's a great swing man.
Yeah. So if that doesn't get done, and I think from what I'm hearing, they expect that to get done today. But if that doesn't get done, I mean, when you've got 5 players that are on the hook, so Zach Jones, Brad Hill, Dougal Howard, Paddy Ryder and Dan Butler, I think you've got to... I wouldn't be surprised to see them move on if that one doesn't get done, which means someone like Josh Bruce, I think he probably stays at the football club. Everyone expects him to end up at the Western Bulldogs. But if they can't bring in a like-for-like type replacement in Dougal Howard, well then... Maybe Bruce ends up staying.
What's your advice for your football club, your old football club, with Jack Stephen? Give them some advice this morning.
Well, yeah, I think you got to get something for him.
The Cats are offering 37. Are they offering 37? Yeah, so the Cats have put 37 on the table.
Yeah, okay. I think
what's your advice?
I think the Saints would be happy with something around there.
Yeah, well, they're not at the moment.
I'm hearing different.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. That's why you're here.
I'm hearing different.
So you think it'll get done?
I think it'll get done.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think so. I think the clubs, I mean, Jack's been a great servant of the football club. I think they've got his best interests at heart. I mean, maybe he gets involved in we've heard Menegola now linked to Fremantle. Brad Hill to St Kilda, Stephen to maybe there's an opportunity for a little three-team trade with the exchanging of some picks to occur there.
Do you think Amendola's become the lubricator? You know, there's a lubricator in each deal. Don't look at me like that, Gary. There's always a lubricator in these deals, whether it's the pick or whether it's the player.
Yeah.
Do you think he's that?
He called it the Metamucil.
Yeah, but I've changed it. Yeah, I think about this over the weekend.
He could be, because picks are speculative. Absolutely speculative. So at least Menegola, you know, it's a known quantity in a sense. He's been there before. I wouldn't be surprised to see something like that occur. But to your point, them being all of a sudden a destination club, I do think for some players, it comes back to opportunity. Mm-hmm. So what have you got going on over
there? Don't you worry about what I'm
saying. that might be my friend. In some situations, it's opportunity. So Dougal Howard found himself out of the team at the end of the year. So and Dan Butler didn't get to play much footy this year for the Tigers. So opportunity there. Someone like Brad Hill, when you haven't played finals since 2011, well, then clearly you're going to have some room in the salary cap. So that's why St Kilda becomes attractive for a Brad Hill. Plus, they're back at Moorabbin. So this was the issue down at Seaford for all of those years. It was very, very difficult to entice players. And so as captain of the footy club, I took Caddy and Guns and some of these boys around the facility. Well, it was a tough sell.
Well,
like it did.
No good coffee shops around the corner down there at Seaford either.
None.
And back in Brighton.
Yes.
Great coffee shops around
Bayside, the Bayside Club.
There's a name that's come through, I'd say conservatively 40 times off the speckle text. That is the player that you suggested said that he was a cross between Cyril.
Yeah, what do you got?
Do you want me to tell it?
Hold on, let me look at the machine.
Is it right? Is that him?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
You going to name him or not?
Nah.
Okay, we won't name him. Hey, the age profile of those players that the Saints are going after, apart from Paddy Ryder, like Paddy's on the wrong side of 30. Hill is 26, Jones 24, Howard's 23, Butler's 23. So they really fit that age profile, don't they, that you can actually build around these players. They're going to be there for a while if they can secure them.
Yeah, well, they've gone to the draft. So I think now they become the complementary pieces, really, don't you? So Hanbury last year, and when you if you plugged all of those five players into the lineup, say all five get done, which when you've got players that want to come to your football club, well, then it's incumbent upon you to get them there, and you would expect them to play, otherwise you're not bringing them in. So it does give it a really different look next year for the Saints. The other element of that is they've got essentially two new recruits sitting there in Max King and Jack Bytel, who didn't play last year, who were really highly touted. Dylan Robertson's another one. Hanbury played three games. Geary played five games. McCartan he didn't play a senior game last year. And Dylan Robertson's the other one. So
Sam Edmund away at the moment. He's on special assignment. David Zeta is our producer.
He didn't run this by me.
Wait, he's coming on.
A little tip this morning that came via.
He ran 10K yesterday. Are you sure he's going to be able to do this?
Did you do the 10K, Frank Ryan?
No, he did the marathon.
No.
Boys,
just leave that for the minute. Let's get the story out, okay? So something came through via our message this morning, which, if true, would be unbelievable. Now, well, I don't know, you've been doing some homework on this. Now, you must be very confident if you're going to go with it.
Yes. So you can expect today that Ben King is going to recommit to the Gold Coast Suns until the end of 2022. That'll be announced today.
That is amazing because I've had people in football tell me. Hang on. I've had
Nick
people
Rivas
tell
me. Fallen off his chair. I've got to pick him up. Get up, Rui.
I've had people tell me that this is as good as done, that he'll be at St Kilda next year.
Mm.
So you're saying that he's recommitted and he's signed for another 2 years.
That's what I'm saying, yes.
That is great for the Gold Coast Suns.
That is as big a Philip. And now the Mike Sheen scenario comes into play. And Lethers will drive off the road when I say this, but Mike floated that they should go all guns blazing for Max.
Wow. And flip it
on its head.
Look at Rui, he's stunned.
I don't mind that as a tactic, but
of course
it won't. It won't happen. Yeah, they'll go good on him. If he's re-signed, that's great news for the Gold Coast Suns. So if you're able to buddy him up with Rau and Anderson, that being said, there's plenty of contracted players that are moving this year.
So go and get the manager on. Paul Connors is his man. Try and see if you can get Paul on Cameron or someone else from the Suns, because that is the biggest shot in the arm
for
Gold Coast Suns, as we've seen for a long, long time. On the back of Rau and Anderson going there, they keep Lukosius and Rankin. then maybe it's starting to come together.
Gee, you pop, my balloon's just been popped.
Maybe.
Flattened out the chair.
Maybe. You know when Mike floated that on Friday?
Maybe he knew something.
Maybe he knows something, Mike. Occasionally he brings something like this to the table and then it all plays out the way that he just floated it.
Let's just deal with that, though. That is a huge statement for the Gold Coast.
Massive.
Sons, isn't it?
Massive.
Because this is this kid who's showed so much in the back half of this year. He did some things where you look at it and go, wow, imagine when he gets another pre-season under his belt, he's not going to get any smaller. And then we saw him on grand final day run the 100 metres in about 8.95. he ran away from Sam Frost. We know how quick Sam Frost is. So you put all that in the melting pot and you go, gee, no wonder the Saints and every other club. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Western Bulldogs were, through the course of this weekend, touted as someone that wanted to get involved in the chase for Ben King, and now we're here this morning, as broken by David Zeta, that he's recommitted for another 2 years.
Let me play devil's advocate here, and I'll get accused of wearing my Saints hat. That's fine. I'll wear that. Why would he do it?
Because he's happy where he is.
Maybe he loves the job.
Yeah. And why do you think? You know the other thing, Nick, what about the fact that he now knows that he's got two great kids that are going to be there next season alongside
would he
him
not
as well?
Be in a better position next year, leverage-wise, to get more out of the Gold Coast?
Possibly, if that's all he thought about, the leverage that he could actually activate, then maybe. But maybe he's sat down, he's looked at these two kids, they've said to him, okay, this is part of the future, you commit to, you're all going to be part of something that's going to be great up here.
Would the motivation be that plus you don't have to go? Because we know, I mean, how much noise there is around him at the moment. You don't have to go through another 12 months of sort of speculation.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe that was a consideration, but it's a great thing, isn't it? If a young kid commits like this. And we had Matty Rowell and Noah Anderson in here last week. I don't know whether you heard it or not, Nick, but they are just outstanding young boys who just want to go and play football and be part of something successful.
Yep. The AFL would be over the moon.
Absolutely.
Would it? And this is the other...
Sheets. There's always going to be sheets involved.
What about...
That's what I was getting at when I said, why would you do it?
They're in control now.
Gary didn't take the hook.
The Gold Coast Suns are in control of Ben King, you know, now too.
By extending his contract.
Yeah. So... let's just say, if you want to be the real devil's advocate, they come in now and they hold the whip hand. I mean, if he's out of contract at the end of next year and the Saints come and he says, yeah, I'm going, they've got no control. Yeah. But now the Saints can come and say, we'll give you pick 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. They go, oh, well, okay, now we might look at it. But we are in control because we've got him contracted till 2021.
That's a very cynical way of
looking
at
it. Well, of course it is.
That being said, though, we're seeing clubs at the moment basically deal players that are in contract because players don't want to be there.
That's what I'm saying, though. Yeah. I'm not for a second think that's the case because I think having him commit to your footy club might even be the pivotal turning point for this club. Who knows?
And George has just sent through a text. Now the Saints can give next year's first round pick as part of the Brad Hill deal with Ben King signing. I mean, maybe...
they won't be doing that.
They won't do that?
I don't think so.
Jeez.
Let me just say this.
He's been very emphatic every time we've mentioned St Kilda this morning with his news, hasn't he?
I don't think, by the way, with St Kilda that... we're talking about 37 for Jack Stephen. I don't think 37's been offered just yet.
Yeah, well, that's what I said, if you cast your mind back 10 minutes.
That's exactly what he said.
Yeah. Well, let me just say, too.
You two aren't talking to the same people, are you?
No, I'm not talking to anyone.
I want to ask you this morning, too, just late in the piece last week.
Andrew just said, Gary, please don't think clubs use the grand final sprint as a guide to recruiting. Andrew, thank you, Andrew. That's true.
That's
what I was saying. They went, geez, look how fast he ran. Let's give him $1 million for a year for the next six. Andrew, give me a tiny modicum of credit, please.
Hey, Nick, the story last week, the conversation that Heppel may have had with Horatio Fantasia, which led to possibly him then recommitting to the Bombers and staying on. When Goddard left, and also Nick Del Santo, how involved did you get in those discussions with the club and the players?
Hold that thought and tell us on the other side of this. Nick Revolt for Orbit Logistics, Freight and Supply Chain Management. Cutting this morning on a very big news morning, a little tip-off came our way by a very good audience and chased up by David Zeta, our producer, who's telling us this morning that Ben King has recommitted to the Gold Coast Suns until the end of 2022.
And he ran in here during the break we had and he said, do I now qualify for votes in the Palmer?
He wants 3 Scotty Palmers and right now you'll be getting them because that is a huge
scoop
story.
Scoop.
What would EA have had to pay him to get him to re-sign, you reckon?
I wouldn't know. That's not my area, but I would imagine it would be
lucrative. Have a guess, maybe.
What do you think?
700?
What do you think?
Yeah. So it would have to be, that plus.
He's played half a dozen games?
Yeah.
At the back end of the year?
Yeah.
Is there too much, is there a figure that is too much to be paid?
Oh, I think that's too much.
Well, yes.
To a player that's played a handful of games.
On the surface it is. And
do you think it's good for a young player?
To get that much money?
Yeah.
Well, we were only speculating, by the way, but let's assume.
You say it was around there.
Yeah, of course it is. But
it's good for him.
No, I thought he said, is it too much?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's too much.
Because there's a level of, I think when you're a young player, there's a level of motivation that comes with trying to justify a big contract at some stage. You know, we're not all just motivated by money. Mm-hmm. There's the self-motivation to want to do well and want to be a great player and all of that. But with that becomes, hey, if I'm a great player, well, with that comes a lot of great stuff.
But he can still do that.
He can.
I don't know him well enough to say, well, this, if it is a substantial amount of money, that it's going to make any difference at all in terms of the way he prepares and plays and commits and all that sort of stuff.
Puts a lot of pressure on, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it does. No question about that. But there's circumstances up there that are a bit extraordinary.
They are unusual.
We've given them, you know, 6-7 minutes of the most positive sort of talk about that club that we have since we've probably been on air here for the last couple of years, and that will permeate now throughout the industry because the story's out there and broken, and they'll get positive, positive, positive. Matty Rowell will be feeling good. Yep. Noah Anderson will feel good.
Precocious. And we are only speculating that it would be that sort of money.
Of course we are.
Maybe it's not.
Mm. And Nick, before we left, I asked you posed the question about whether or not you got involved in keeping Brendan Goddard at St Kilda when he left and went to Essendon, and Nick Dalsano when he left St Kilda and went to North Melbourne. You were captain then.
Yep.
So did the club come to you and ask you for your advice about what you should do or what you could do around these two players?
No, they didn't. No. So the club wanted those players out really at the time.
So it wasn't a discussion at all?
No. So I got involved. So Brendan had an offer from the footy club, but it was nowhere near the offer that he was receiving to go elsewhere in free agency and go to the Bombers. So, I mean, it was pretty clear based on the offer that it was an offer that they wanted him to refuse.
Right.
So I had conversations with him as a friend and as his captain, and you know, we're best mates, BJ and I, and, similar situation with Dell that the club had gone down a really clear path of wanting to rebuild and bring in draft picks, and they were two of the guys that found themselves in a situation where the club, I think, would rather them have left and got the compensation for them.
Did they explain it to you exactly the path that they were going down and why they were going down that path and what their plan was around that?
No, not exactly, because I think in the subsequent years, we found out that there was a salary cap squeeze, so no one ever came to us and said, hey, look,
take a pay cut,
otherwise BJ's going to fall out, Dell's going to fall out, Ben McAvoy's going to fall out. I think there was a bit of a desire to get picks in and show everyone how good they were at recruiting. You've got to obviously go and get the right picks. And that doing that as a method to try and regenerate your football club. I mean, we've seen how long it's taken Carlton, how long it took Melbourne, how long it's taken St Kilda. The Saints haven't played finals since 2011. So it's a flawed method to try and redevelop your football club, or at least it's a very, very slow method.
And it really impacts on you as a player. Like, you're there because you want to have success.
Well, we knew pretty much straight away that the next 3 to 4 years were going to be really, really difficult in terms of being relevant and playing finals, because you deliberately go out and get rid of some of your established senior players to bring in kids. Well, I mean, that's going to be the result.
That was difficult. Luke Ball, how'd that all unfold?
I think Ballie was offered a contract. Ballie was under pressure for his spot that year. That was the end of 2009. So Ballie spent time in the VFL that year. I think that was as much about opportunity as anything.
Right.
Yeah, that was different. So that was a few years before. But Goddard, Del Santo, McAvoy, they were the ones.
I always think back.
Do you think it's the right thing in hindsight or not?
To get rid of him?
Mm.
No way.
No, thank you.
Of course not.
And they could.
Screw your face up.
They could have paid, but they didn't have the money, or they did have the money. They could have gone down a different path.
But you could have gone down the path of bringing all the players in on the conversation and saying, hey, we've got a salary cap squeeze. We've got an issue here. Like I'm sure they're going to do at Collingwood.
Would you have been prepared to take a pay cut to keep them?
Yeah, of course I would have. Yeah, because we were, I mean, we were a tight group. That was in a period where we were still, I mean, we were still playing finals. But, I mean, that decision was taken out of the players' hands.
Hey, let's ask you about the Collingwood situation then, because that's also looming as apparently a bit of an issue for them. Just repeating the news broken here this morning, Ben King has recommitted to the Gold Coast Suns until the end of season 2022. News headlines, Nick Riewoldt stays with us. Steve Monaghan is still to come. Nick Riewoldt's with us through until 9. Don't forget the call of the week, win a Toyota Hilux SR5, own a Toyota. Download the My Toyota app today. The leader of the Scott Palmer medal at the moment is Mitch Cleary. You can hear him on Trade Radio. He's doing a magnificent job. He jumped on the line this morning. Mitchie, welcome.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
What do you got for us? Anything?
Just looking at this Joe Danaher story. I think it's the one holding up all 25 deals to play out for the next 60 hours. We've got the deadline on Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. So looking forward to seeing if we can make any headway on the Joe Danaher situation today. Then I think Tom Papley, a few others, will spin out of that. But I think that's probably the one that's holding everything up at the moment.
Adrian Dodoro's continuing to hold a really firm line on this, even sort of suggesting 5 or 9 won't be enough, given that there's no obvious replacement in the draft.
And I can see why, because as I've heard Matthew Lloyd say various times, that there's no Ben King, there's no Max King in this year's draft. So it is a bit of a standstill right now for the Bombers. They want a player, and I don't think, you know, a player like Luke Parker or Ollie Florent is really what Essendon need. They need key position players, and the Bombers have made that pretty well aware to the Swans, and they're looking at, you know, say a Tom McCartan or a Nick Blakey, but you just can't see the Swans giving up that sort of player right now. So I can understand why, with 60 hours to go, we're still in a holding pattern.
I wouldn't think they'll be going anywhere near that calibre of player. Now, listen, the name that was emerged over the weekend, which I can't believe it has, is Tom Phillips from the Collingwood Footy Club. We've been talking that they're going to have some pressure, you would imagine, next year with some of their huge names coming out of contract. But is this talk real or manufactured?
I think there is some realness to this, because he did sign a nice 3-year contract at the start of this year. So he's got 3 years to run after this season, Tom Phillips. And as you guys alluded to before the break, they are looking to clear some sort of money. James Aisha's name has been put on the table. Matt Schoenberg is in the same boat. So the Pies need to get on the front foot now to clear money. We all know about Moore, DeGoey, you know, Pendlebury, Cox. Next year, they've got to re-sign Grundy as well. So they are going to have to move some sort of money. And I can understand why Tom Phillips' name has emerged. I think there is, right now, some realness to this.
Is it Geelong, the club that's been mentioned?
I haven't heard Geelong. There's a few other Victorian clubs that are sniffing around, because, Gary, as you know, and I've heard you various times on AFL Nation this year, the importance of his role, and this club's looking at that. You can see why Melbourne has gone out and targeted Langdon and Tomlinson. So Tom Phillips is a name that we're going to hear a bit more of over the next few days, I think.
I'll be staggered if... anyway, that's just noise at the moment, of course. What about Stephen and the Cats? Is that going to be done? And we've got a man sitting next to us that's got this all-knowing look about him at the moment.
Well, 37 was the pick the Cats acquired as part of the Tim Kelly trade, and I thought that was going to be put on the table. Stephen Wells has said so far that it hasn't been. I still think this one will get done, and the Saints will pay a bit of that wage. That's what the haggling is over at the moment. How much of the money, and we're looking at probably $500,000 to $600,000 next year for Jack Stephen, and how much the Cats won't want to pay all of that. So I think the bit of the haggling right now is just over how much the Saints pay of that remaining contract for him to move to Geelong. The more the Saints pay, the more the Cats will have to give up via a draft pick, and I think this one will still get done.
And what about the likelihood of some movement on the Tom Papley to Carlton?
Yeah, I heard this over the weekend, Tim, that it has been a bit of movement on this one. So I think right now, the way I see it, is pick 9 is on the table. The other thought is, and as you guys have been saying for some time, is pick 9 potentially being split with Carlton to help this one get done. So a few parties around the Tom Papley situation over the weekend have felt that it probably moved on Friday, and that it might have been a little bit of an update. So I still think we'll see Tom Papley in a navy blue jumper next year.
And did everyone have the weekend off?
Well, there's a few people catching up at the races, Tim, and there's always calls going on, and as you guys have spoken about this morning, the Ben King situation might have moved as well. So there was definitely phone calls going on. I think it's hard to get people in the same room on Saturday and Sunday, but there's definitely been movement and communication held between parties, because we've only got 3 days to go.
Does that news about Ben King surprise you, that he's recommitted till the end of 2022?
Yeah, a little bit. I thought we were going to be looking at this in January or February, so it's a nice scoop from your man David Zeta, Gaz. And I think this will, you know, the biggest part of this, I think, is the Saints were always going to be wanting to keep their first-round pick for next year up their sleeve. And now that they've got 12 and 18 for that pick slot they did last week, I can see a scenario now where the Saints throw pick 12 from this year and next year's first-round pick on the table for Bradley Hill and try and speed up that one, because they wouldn't have wanted to, you know, in the likelihood that Ben King was going to be available in 12 months, they wouldn't have wanted to throw that first pick away. So I think that might have a bit to say on what happens with Bradley Hill's move to Moorabbin.
Well, what about the Dougal Howard one? How does that factor in as well? Now that they've got 12 and 18, do you think they use one of those picks to try and get Dougal Howard out of Port Adelaide?
The other one in this rule is the 18 they've got as part of that pick swap. So I think that the Power are going to be demanding a first-round pick. It feels about right. It's overs in the market for a player like Dougal Howard, but if they want to wrench him out of a three-year contract at Alberton, they're going to have to do that. And now that the Power haven't got Orazio Fantasia through the door, I just don't think the money and the need for the Power to clear his cash is there as much as it was maybe a week ago. So I think the Power are a little, you know, they've come around to the fact of keeping Dougal Howard to his contract if need be. But I think if 18 presents itself and the Saints go 12 and next year's first for Hill and then 18 for Dougal Howard, you throw in Paddy Ryder maybe as part of that deal and bundle them up, then I can see that situation working out.
Which of these St Kilda deals needs to go down first?
I think the Hill one, really, because I just can't see a scenario where they're moving on any of their key assets without getting Bradley Hill done first, Tim. But in terms of timeline, I think the Dan Butler one should happen pretty quick. The Tigers aren't looking for too much. You know, we're looking at a fourth-round pick for Dan Butler. So in terms of timeline, I think a few of the smaller ones will happen. But in terms of what Fremantle need, they demanded pick six last week. That's now off the table. So they're going to be wanting more than what was available last week, and I think 12 and a future first would probably accommodate that.
You're in front in the Scott Palmer medal. How important is it that you win that medal this year?
Oh, it's all they're talking about down at AFL House and when the club and the media get together, Gaz. So, tell you what, people say they don't listen. Absolutely, they're listening to the Scott Palmer Award that comes out.
Yeah, you're spot on. I know Skeeter's made a run. He thinks he should be... You're the Maasai. He wants to be known as the Samurai.
I'll just be happy to roll with the
mass,
I guess.
Good on you, Mitchy boy. Keep up the good work. We'll listen to you on Trade Radio throughout the course of the day. Very, very good operator is Mitch Cleary out there. And I wonder whether we'll be sitting here tomorrow morning talking about a whole plethora of trades.
I hope so. I hope so.
I think we'll be here.
What are we
going to
do?
About the
what
same
are we
going to
do otherwise?
Well, they're going to go through eventually, don't they? Like, somebody has to move on the St Kilda side of things for some of these marbles to drop.
Yeah.
And then I think he's right. Once that first one drops with Hill, then there's the possibility.
Well, I think Howard's the one. Howard's the one today.
But if the one that can get done today.
Yeah, I think so. I think if that one gets done, well, then the rest of them might, you know, you might. The trouble with, again, five balls in the air is if you can't be waiting till the end to try and get five done. Mm. So if you reach a stalemate, Dougal Howard doesn't get done, you might just have to walk away. And then you've still got the player in Josh Bruce that, you know, it's like for like.
1-300-736-736. We'll get to Munners after 8 o'clock. We'll push Steve Monaghan if he's okay with it. We'll talk to him after 8. And we'll throw the lines open as well. 1-300-736-736. You can talk to Nick Revolt. You can talk to the Wispy Watson. Tom Phillips, there's a lot of stuff coming through on Tom Phillips. Yeah. I was so impressed with Tom Phillips this year with the Collingwood Footy Club and his ability to get up and back and work hard.
Gives him something different, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah. And some outside runs hard to find. There are clubs out there that have been over backwards for his outside run.
So would that be just the fallout from the squeeze? Or
again, I'm only sort of going on what I'm hearing. I don't know anything. I'm just reading stuff through that's coming through and speaking to Mitch, that who plays in this space, who says his name was, you know, bandied around a bit over the weekend. Now, Aisha is the other one. The salary cap squeeze has got him, and Scharenberg is the other one that they're talking about.
Do you think the modern player? So you asked me before about this. This was 10 years ago when BJ and Dell. Would the modern player be amenable to a conversation around just taking a little bit less so that a De Goey or a Grundy or doesn't fall out of your football club?
Yep, absolutely. I think these conversations go on all the time. I think they've already gone on at Collingwood too. In fact, I think there has been players there that have taken a little bit of a reduction so that they might be able to accommodate some of these players.
The Cats famously have done it on a number of occasions.
We all would we? I would.
Yeah.
Well,
yep.
And we have. We did.
Okay, I'm going to ask you this question, Tim, as we head to the break. For Hello World, discover the best deals with Hello World Travel, the travel professionals. If we had the opportunity to get the Rooster here on as a full-time next year, would you take less? Don't answer after the break.
Breakfast, Gary White and Tim Watson.
Now, if you just joined us this morning and you're catching up with all the news, you can go to sen1116.com and then you read this story. SEN Breakfast producer David Zeta revealed that Ben King has recommitted to the Suns until the end of 2022.
Doesn't he write the story?
He does. He's out to be.
He writes He's writing in the third person.
No.
Oh, boy.
Good job. Did he mention that he ran the marathon yesterday as well?
Good job.
That's the next story.
Now, I asked you a question as we went to the break. Bill from who's a Sydney Swan supporter says wouldn't work too many Roosters in the one room if we bring in the Rooster here next. Would you take a pay cut to accommodate him?
How much are we talking?
No.
It's all relevant.
How much would you be
I'm committed in other areas. I've got some more vines I've got to put in down at Glen Maggie.
Hook me up with your solar little connection.
Well, don't say that. Don't bring that up.
What?
Now look at him. His mind's working and ticking over. Nick Revolt's with us until 9 o'clock, and he will be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Of course.
And we've just embraced him into part of the family, and we think today he's going to get a little bit busier and from a trade point of view. Would it need to be? And there's some lots of stories going out there. Barry's from Lilydale, who has joined us. G'day, Bazza.
G'day, mate. How you going?
We're good. We've got the Rooster with us. We've got Wispy in full voice. So what do you got for us?
Well, Gary, I want to make a very clear message to Tom Harley and the Mighty Blood.
Yep.
We do not need Danaher. We have our forward line. We have McCartan. We have Blakey. We have Haywood. We have Florent. We have Heaney. And then you've got Buddy. Why would we want Danaher? That is the most ridiculous thing. I've been wanting to have my say for quite a long time. And I tell you now, we don't want him. We don't need him.
Right, Baz, we're going to pass that on to Tommy Harley, but the question you posed, why would the Swans want Joe Danaher? Nick Revolt.
Well, he's a pretty handy player when he's fit and available. Let's not forget that the last 2 years have been ruined by injury for Joe Danaher, but prior to that, he was an All-Australian forward. Okay. So Lance Franklin is, how old's Buddy? He's past 30.
Past 30, yeah.
And last year was the first sign that his body might be starting to revert.
We still
to
think
what
he's going to play.
We still think he's
games.
Got. Yeah, we still think he's got great so footy left in him.
The question for you is this: Buddy is a give me the ball forward.
Yep.
Gimme, gimme, gimme.
Yes.
Joe is a gimme the ball forward.
That's fine.
How's it work?
They can coexist for.
Can they?
They can coexist.
Are you
for
confident?
They can make it. It won't be. It's suboptimal.
Suboptimal.
Yes, but they can make it work for two or three years.
Who's going to sacrifice
and then guess what?
First?
Buddy won't be there after that.
Who's sacrificing
so
first?
So it's a contingency because when Buddy's gone, would you want to have someone like Joe Danaher there? Of course you would.
Of course you would.
100% you would.
So if you can get it done now, you get it done now. Absolutely.
How hard are they?
Joe Danaher would have to defer to Buddy. Buddy's a man, but Buddy's shown that he can play up the ground. He can play deep. Joe Danaher can play up the ground. He can play deep. They could make it work.
Buddy prefers to play up the ground, doesn't he?
Jack Revolt and Tom Lynch, we all wondered how is that going to work? Because they're a team that have played with one key. I mean, they made it work.
Yeah.
They rotated. They spent time deep. They deferred to the hot hand. Buddy's a very selfless player. Let's not forget that.
And Joey?
What about Joe?
He's a Seaborg. Give me
yeah,
the
that's
ball.
Fine. He can learn.
He's got to learn.
He can learn.
He's got to learn.
Can coach him into that.
You confident of that?
Yes.
All right. You going to go up there and help?
Nope.
Tell me this. I read over the weekend where the Bombers are urging, the Essendon players are urging the Essendon administration to stand firm on Joe Danaher.
I read
how
that
much
too.
Lobbying would they have done with Joe?
The players,
yeah.
Independent of that conversation, well, directly to Joe you're talking
about. I know Joe's overseas now. Yep. He's out of the country and you can't do anything. But
well, you can still call him. I mean,
back
you can
in
still
the day,
send a text, call him.
Back in the day, if that was at your club, that would be a full court press.
I'd assume that would be the case.
That's six,
I would assume.
Eight, 10, 12 players every night.
Camped on his doorstep.
Just walk around with half
you're
a dozen
not going
cans.
Anywhere.
Off season, just say, Joey, just want to let you know, mate, we love you and we don't want you to go. And then you have a couple of beers and you leave him, and then another six go. Then that's what you do, and you keep doing it until he goes, geez, I'll tell you what,
But they didn't wear him down, though, did they? That's the point here. I mean, they had.
No, well, my question
all that,
is.
All that, there was a lot of speculation over a long period of time that he was going to go. I don't know whether they did or didn't.
That's my question.
Arazio, you mean?
No, we're talking about Joe
Danaher. But is this what they've done with Arazio? Have they worn him down, the players?
Well, all I know is what was reported, Dyson and that Heppel was that Dyson Heppel had breakfast with him the other day.
Yep.
So, and I think that helped spin him around. He was undecided at that point. Joe went on for a long time, though. I think the players in the locker room knew that for some time that there was a possibility this was going to happen. So even after that period of time, then he still made his decision and announced to the Essendon side, or to the club, that I want to move on, I want to go to Sydney. So obviously that didn't work. They may have tried, but it didn't work.
And then the players, so just say Joe now has said he wants to go, he wants to go to Sydney, and they can't get a trade done. What's the temperature like when he walks back in?
Well, this is the whole point of my question. How hard did they, if it was a, as I said, if it's the players love the player and want him desperately, it's a full court press, keep him. So assuming they've done that, then of course he comes back into the fold.
Yeah.
Of course he does.
It's a good question because do you ever walk out and decide you want to go somewhere else if you really love your environment and you love the blokes that you're playing alongside?
I think
you need to have some sort of a godfather offer, do you not?
I think it can be in this situation. So we're led to believe it's the opportunity to go and play in Sydney and lifestyle. I think it's less about the people.
I think it's the environment, not the players.
It doesn't sound like he's fallen out of love with the Essendon Football Club, or there's an issue with personalities or the coach or the playing group. It sounds like it's purely a geographical decision.
Half-time United v Clippers. We, the United, are leading the Clippers 51-47. Chris Golding's got 15 points. Yes?
I tipped this. I tipped the boil over.
We're here for Melbourne.
Hutchie's sideline. Hey, it's very hard when Hutchie gets on the sidelines like he does and he patrols up and down. Very, very hard not to perform.
Nick from Berwick's been watching. He reckons he saw Hutchie on Kiss Cam. I don't know if that's true or not.
Who's he sitting next to?
Poor bugger. Melbourne Airport parking now from under $10 a day. You can book now at melbourneairport.com.au. I want to know who you fought hardest for to keep at the St Kilda Footy Club next. Nick Revolt. Nick Revolt's with us. We're about to speak to Steve Monteghetti after 8 o'clock, one of the great men. Kipchoge, is that how I pronounce it, Whispers?
You can.
He was the first man to break 2 hours in the marathon. Did you see that on the weekend?
Yeah, unbelievable.
What's it?
The bit of information that I liked was go out and run a 17-second 100.
Yeah.
And just that, I mean, it's not a sprint, but it's moving. Yeah, 17 seconds for 100.
Mm-hmm.
Then go and do it another 400 odd times without stopping.
Yeah.
That's when you think, oh my gosh.
2 minute 50K pace for 42K. So yeah. What was your, you were a great athlete. What was your times?
My best, we did, so the hardest test we ever did was sort of 5 1Ks, but you're not able to sustain top pace. But we did a one-off sort of balls out
1600.
1K.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
And what was your time?
I was in the 240s.
Right, so that's what he's running for 42K.
Yeah, he's done 40 of them. Unbelievable. Yeah. Can you say that, Tim? No, yeah, good.
How do you describe that again?
No, I won't.
Hey, yeah, well, we're going to speak to Steve Monteghetti.
That's what they say. Okay, boys, this one, you got to go balls out this one.
Right, okay, just clarifying that and backing over it. Yeah. Nick Revolt's with us through until 9 o'clock, so he's here for another hour, and he will be for the next 2 days. Go, we're happy. Hello, world. Discover the best deals with Hello World Travel, the travel professionals. Steve Monteghetti to join us. He'll put it into some sort of perspective for us. The great man, Mona, who has also happened to be... He and Jimmy used to run side-by-side on our pre-season camps. And Jimmy, this is a great apocryphal story that Jimmy beat him up Mount Buninyong and back. And Mona, being the gentleman that he was, just let the story go.
And?
I don't think he did. Oh, well, he may have, but I don't think that Steve was flat out. As Rui would say, I don't think he was balls out.
Melbourne Airport parking, now from under $10 a day. Book now at melbourneairport.com.au. Discover the best deals with Hello World Travel, the travel professionals. Visit helloworld.com.au today. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Let's keep an eye on the clock into the final 20 seconds. Eliud Kipchoge.
Whoa!
He's got his shoulder. 140. 140, the unofficial time.
There's his wife.
Eliud Kipchoge storms into the history books in Vienna. 159.40, the unofficial time. The first man to run a marathon in under 2 hours. One final lung-busting stride for Kipchoge. One giant leap for human endeavour.
Well, nicely said. Nice little wrap up there. 1 hour, 59 minutes, 40 seconds. We can't get our head around it. We've never run a marathon. Whisp, you and I. A man that has, Commonwealth Games gold medalist, one of Australia's greatest long-distance runners, Steve Monteghetti. He's been good enough to join us. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, boys. How are you going?
Well, going well. I'm getting tired just thinking about that. What did you make of it all?
Oh, certainly glued to the live stream, watching it all unfold. And he's a freak, obviously, and I think we all know he's the greatest male marathon runner of all time. And to just miss a couple of years ago, I thought it was all set up and in place for him to get under, but he did it with such ease. It was amazing how relaxed and comfortable he looked. So phenomenal. I didn't think it happened in my lifetime that we'd see someone run under 2 hours. And whilst it's not official, it's still pretty damn good.
Does it lose anything in the fact that there were pacemakers and, we saw the sort of the lines on the ground in front of the pace car out the front? Does that take anything away from the achievement?
Oh, yeah, of course it does. It's a time trial. There's only one guy there. He's not racing. He doesn't think he's not going to get beaten in the race. He's always set up to win. And now he holds the world record, 2:1:39. Now, that's what he ran in a race. And this is, you've got to separate this from that. And, overnight we've seen the women's world record broken in a race. And there's always a bit of controversy with the women because they're in a mixed race. So they're running with men as well. But no denying you've still got to be able to have the legs to run under 2 hours. And that's what we saw on the weekend. So incredible, 2 minutes 50. Knocking over 42 Ks back to back in 2:50 is incredible.
What sort of time difference are we talking, Steve? If you were given the same opportunity when you were at your peak, what do you think you might have been able to shave off your best time?
Well, that's a great question, Nick. And, the world record was about 1:30 quicker than what I ran at the time. And, I would think, you talk about these 4%ers, the Nike shoes. Well, they say they take 4%. And, I only really needed about not even 1%. So, you think, but then everyone would be wearing them. And so you've got to put it into perspective. If everyone has the equal advantage of being paced, of having the laser, then everyone would run probably a couple of minutes quicker. And that's what Elliot ran, that 1:59:40, which is 2 minutes quicker than his official world record. So I'm saying it's worth 2 minutes because practically that's what he's running in a real race.
Yep.
Hey, Steve, it's been described as historic as the moon landing. How would you describe it?
I don't think it's quite as historic as that. But it's just, for me, the purity of marathon running is, you put your shoes on and away you go. And it's really, it's pretty pure, let's be honest. You don't really, it's not a lot of equipment and stuff to use. So I think that's the incredible thing that we realise that a human being is running so fast. And to break that 2 hours, as I say, I didn't think it would happen in my lifetime. So it's just incredible to think that in my sport and the awareness and people's recognition of distance running now is incredible. And it's raising everyone's sight. And as I say, who would put limits on anything? If you had told me when I was running, someone in another, whatever it is, 30 years is going to run under 2 hours, I'd just laugh at you. So it's incredible what we've been able to do in that time.
What about the course itself? Was it kind to a marathon?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they actually repaved. They paid to have the road repaved with like a smooth bitumen, and it was cambered on the end. So it was an up and back circuit, but it wasn't like you did a turn on a hairpin. It was actually it was cambered, and there were actually lanes on the ends that Elliot had to run within the lanes. Because obviously if you shortcut a turn, like on a running track, if you're in lane 8 and you run on lane 2, it's shorter. So he had to run within the lanes to make it legal on those turns. And they banked it so that he wouldn't lose any momentum. And there were trees on the side. It was picked in Vienna because the weather was always going to be good. It was perfect weather, no wind. You need all of those things in your favour. And that's, why city marathons now become flat and fast for that exact reason, so people can run fast.
We were talking recently the World Cup event and the fact that the marathon had been run, I think, in temperatures of 30-plus degrees. How tough is that, Steve?
Well, it's a completely different event, absolutely completely different, and it's almost survival. And you talk about, human endeavour, well, the human body's not really meant to run marathons. You run out of glycogen. You throw in then the heat factor where you are putting your body under so much stress, then, yeah, it's just a completely different event. And that's where it's almost become separate now, something like an Olympic Games in Tokyo next year, which will be really hot. So Eliud Kipchoge will go there, but it'll be a completely different running event because you have to deal with the distance, the heat, as well as the opposition.
So is that almost impossible to do? Now that he's run that race and he knows what he's actually capable of internally, is it impossible just to completely compartmentalise that and shut out the opposition next time he comes to race? Or is just the sheer nature of the fact that there are people around you means you engage in a race?
He will have a different perspective in a race, but I tell you, everyone else will be running off him. He now, he's at a level where he's so good that everyone else just hangs on and keeps running with him for as long as they can. I mean, they got close to him in London this year when he broke the world record in Berlin. He was by himself, but in London he had a race, a couple of Ethiopians stuck it to him, but he got away and still won. So psychologically has such an advantage now. And for him, he knows he's run so much quicker than anybody else that he enters a race thinking it's his to lose rather than for other people to win.
And pardon my ignorance, but how does a marathon break down? So would your first 10Ks be, say, faster or slower than the last 10Ks?
It is exactly the same. And might I say, our four Australians who were pacing on the weekend did a fantastic job. They were clicking off 2 minute 50 kilometres just ad infinitum. They were just doing it one after. That's what that laser was doing. If they sat up, they didn't have to think. They didn't have to look at their watches. They just sat with that laser, and you run to run your best marathon, you run even pace the whole way. And looks like we're just jogging when the gun goes, but they're straight into pace and they're setting that pace for the whole race. And it's often the winner is the person who slows down the least.
One of those pacemakers, a young fella from Altona, we're being told. Jack Raynor, is he one of them?
Yeah, Jack Raynor. Yep, that's right. One of the up-and-coming stars of Australian distance running. He debuted in London last year and ran just over 2:11. Brett Robinson ran 2:11 there. Patrick Tiernan and our own Stewie McSwain, who's going really well in middle distance and distance running, and went to school here in Ballarat. He's the mayor of King Island. He's the king of King Island down in off Tassie. So some great local people helping out, and they did a great job. You know, you need those places to be on the, and they had to move in and out. It was quite technical to get them to swap over there. I think there were six pace groups of about seven athletes, so they were all there doing the business.
And Steve, before we let you go, obviously it's an Olympic year next year. Which names should we be looking at in terms of those that may put up performances that we're going to be talking about this time next year?
Well, certainly from our Australian perspective, those two guys, and then Sinead Diver, Ali Pashley, and Lisa Waitman ran Chicago Marathon overnight in that, where the women's world record was broken or smashed by Bridget Koska, which is amazing. Paula Rackley's record we thought might never be broken. So it's been a massive weekend in running, and so the girls are doing a great job. So look out for the women next year in Tokyo. And in the men, obviously, you know, Kipchoge and now Koska will go in as raging favourites.
It was a great run, Mono, but would he have beaten Jimmy Steins up Mount Buninyong? That's what I would like to know.
That's right. Exactly. No chance. What a great man he was.
He was. So great to talk to you this morning. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for the chat.
Steve. Chef de Michon. He was, the Australian team. Is he again?
I don't know. I don't know. You should have asked him, Gary. Nick,
set new blokes up for good questions. He gets the great question, Nick, after I told Nick to answer it.
Oh, yeah, right.
He got the pipe out at some stage.
He did have the pipe out.
Oh, yeah. You pulled the pipe out of your top pocket. Yeah, well, just a couple little puffs on it.
So you should.
I'm just trying to bring my best stuff, so you might consider Gary's recommendation earlier that you just take less sheetage and we'll have a little trio next year.
You've got to do more for mine.
He still hasn't committed to that.
On 1116 SEN, a sports bet update.
Check out Sportsbet's racing specials this Saturday at Caulfield and Randwick. Conditions apply. Gamble responsibly.
Nathan Brown joins us from Sportsbet. You're speaking to Nick Revolt, who's going to take you through this particular segment. Nick, over to you.
Hello, Junior Fang.
Hello, Nicky. How are you?
Good, mate. What have we got? We've got Sunday night football over in the States, Packers v Lions. What can you tell us, Brownie?
Yeah, we certainly do. Detroit 253 up against the Packers $1.52. Now, Detroit have surprised some with their play this year. They're going really well. Only loss has been 34-30 against Kansas City. So that's pretty good form because Kansas are going well at the moment. At home, the Packers are going to be hard to beat, though. 4 from 5 they are at the moment, and they're at Lambeau Field. Now, where I reckon there is some value, not only in the Packers at $1.52, but Aaron Jones, the Packers, the last 6 games he's played at Lambeau Field, he scored a touchdown every game. And he's $2.10 to do that, and he's in form because away to the Cowboys last week, he actually scored 4 touchdowns, which is an equal franchise record. So $2.10 for an anytime touchdown scorer, I reckon that's pretty good. And the early game is the Pittsburgh Steelers, $3.23, up against the Chargers, who are $1.35. And the outright, the Pats are still the favourites at $3.60, the Saints at $7, Kansas City then $8, and the Packers are at $13, Nicky.
They couldn't do it again, the Patriots, could they, surely? A-League in full swing, what are the markets looking like there?
Well, just out updating the outrights, and Perth Glory and Sydney are both the favourites at $4.20. Melbourne Victory and Melbourne City both had a draw, $6 and $8.50 respectively. Then you got the Wanderers at $10, $11 to Adelaide United and West United, and Brisbane Roar $15. But can't wait the NFL tomorrow, today.
Thank
and
you.
I know you think you're half an American and you can play the game, but you can't. Nick.
Off you go.
Off you go, Brownie. Check out Sportsbet's racing specials this Saturday at Caulfield and Randwick. No chance to play, gamble responsibly.
Oh yes. Welcome back. Great to have you with us on this Monday. What's floored you for National Tiles' new timber flooring range available now? 1-300-736-736. You can give us a call. Just repeating the news that Ben King has recommitted to the Gold Coast Suns till 2021. And if you're in any doubt as to who broke that story, you just need to read anywhere that David Zeta has broken that story. Although, on one of these, not everyone's caught up with it at the moment, or they're slow to put it up, but one of them's attributed Sam Edmund. He's not even here.
That was Sam Edmund.
Sam Edmund's
he's retweeted it.
Yeah, he's out there trying to fix it up, though. Don't worry. He wants his name in lights.
What's floored you for National Tiles?
Have you had many surgeries post your career?
16.
Post your career?
No.
No. Do you need a hip or a knee or anything done?
Not the way I've been moving lately, no.
No, you're looking svelte. What about you?
I'm going to book in for all of them.
All of them?
And wrists as well.
Yeah. My old man had a double knee replacement last week.
Jeez.
Double.
He's gone for the both at the same time.
See, and g'day, Dad, if you're listening, he knows himself very well. So he knew if he got one done and it was as painful as he was told, he probably wouldn't have gone back for the second one. So he needed both done.
Really?
So went in for the double. Oh. So what's floored me was just how brutal that sort of surgery is. And it's for someone who is probably going to need a knee at some stage down the track.
Right.
I've got an ugly sort of 20 years sitting around waiting for it. I went in to see him Thursday night, 11 out of 10, the pain, he said.
I can't even imagine.
Horrendous.
And Nick, you've had a lot of experience in this area. I've got a very, very, I don't want to go into my own ailments, but I've got a very sore right knee.
Yep.
Okay, I've had my left one reconstructed, that's okay. My right one is the one that's troubling me now. Is there anything that you can do out there that's going to give a little bit of relief before you have the knee replaced?
Do you think you need a replacement?
I'm going down that track. That's what the surgeon said to me last time.
Okay? Really?
I tried everything while I was playing. That's so not there's good news. There's Synvisc, which is like a lubricant for your like the Sam Menegola for your knee.
Yep.
There's the PRP where they take the blood and spin it and inject it back in. So I did all of that to try and get swelling under control. But I feel there's a bit of a shelf life to all of those things, and your body builds up almost like a resistance to it, you know, cortisone and all that sort of stuff. But I think ultimately if your joint's no good, you're going to have to bite the bullet, Wispy.
Was there a spare bed next to Joe when you visited?
There wasn't. It was a big bed, though. You can.
I'm not sure that I want to share a bed with Joe.
I reckon you do.
1-300-736.
I like you, Dad, but I'm not going to share a bed with
you. 1-300-736-736. What's floored you? Shout out to Joe. Shout out to Don Scott, who we believe may not be feeling great. Our great friend Don Scott from... he's from down Sorrento way, but the former Hawthorn superstar and one of our all-time favourites is... We're just getting trying to get some detail on this, but we can't get a hold of him. No. But we're told he's not
you'll
great.
Visit him. You'll visit him, though, won't you?
I will when next I'm down.
When are you going down next? Because I'll come down with you.
We can go today, if you want.
Well, I can't go today. You have floored me at the weekend.
Well, I tell you what's floored me. Talking about knees. I might have to have a reconstructed buckle.
Well, you want one too, do you?
A buckled rib.
You can't reconstruct.
A buckled rib.
What?
Yes, see? You've never heard of it. So don't even talk about it.
Oh, okay. No worries.
If you want to talk about pain, buckled rib that trumps.
I don't reckon you wouldn't have a high pain threshold, though, would you?
Oh, no, of course not. He's played with three bulging discs for the best part of 12 years. Hey, Scott McLaughlin's going to join us after 8:30, which is fantastic. The Bathurst winner for the very first time. Was Jack up there with him?
He was. For the whole... Yeah, no, they're tight. They're good mates. So I think Jack was up there for the full 4 days. So he... With his old man and his brother Charlie, they got the camper van and headed up there, and he loves it. He loves the motor racing.
Jack does,
yeah.
Who did he go up there with?
Well, he went up there with his dad and his brother, but they went up to watch Scotty McLaughlin. Sorry. Yeah, because they're good mates.
Yeah, they do a podcast together.
They do, yeah.
Is he a Ford or a Holden man, Jack? A Ford. I guess he's a Ford if he's on Scotty McLaughlin's
So Scotty was... You know, he was sniffing around grand final day and, you know, front and centre when they won, and then Jack was sniffing around.
Reciprocal.
They were smoking the pipe together.
Hey, I'll tell you what floored me at the weekend, Gary, and that was Andrew Bogart coming out and criticising our man Andrew Gaze.
I sent that through as soon as I read that.
Probably that floored me because you and I both know Gaze. He's a tough hombre.
I don't know him as well as you do, but what Andrew Bogart was saying, if you haven't caught up with it, is that
he was
a great man that he was, but he struggled to make some tough decisions, and therefore the culture suffered.
Yeah, he said he wasn't prepared to make the tough decisions. It's an unusual operation, though, the Sydney Kings. You've got somebody that's actually playing in your team
who's
a part owner of the team. So does your seniority, does that gazump somebody who actually is one of the owners playing in your team
And this is the American influence, I guess. You know, it's obviously an American sport, but private ownership and what the different dynamic that casts over a team. It's hard for us to wrap our heads around because we are, you know, the AFL is a membership base and the NRL is, you know, a different situation again. So it's a really interesting situation.
Hey, just hearing that Don Scott's been in hospital with really bad flu symptoms. So, Scotty, who's a great listener of the show, hopefully you're in the right place anyway, Scotty, so take your time. Knowing Don, he'd be wanting to get out of there as quick as he possibly could, but just stay there. You're in good hands, I'm sure, and hopefully you're up and about very, very soon.
And somebody's given me the advice to go to Keyser. I'm actually going to Keyser tomorrow for an overhaul. Yeah, I booked myself in tomorrow. They're putting me up on the horse tomorrow.
It's like the resistance training.
All that sort of stuff, It looks fascinating. So I'll be able to report firsthand on that.
We've got a Pilates reformer recently at home.
A what?
A Pilates reformer. So you're going to do the Keyser, resistance. Yeah, the Pilates is good too.
So you had one installed at home?
You got one put in your house, did you?
Yeah, we got one at home.
You didn't want to go out and meet the public and do your Pilates?
Not for me. It's
good for some.
Oh, it's for
Kath.
Oh, for Kath. Yeah. Do you get on the Pilates as well or not?
I do.
It'd be good for you, wouldn't
it? It's good. It is good for you.
A plunge pool and...
No, we don't.
Got a walker,
You got a sauna?
Got a steam room?
No.
Everything else. It shouldn't floor me, but Western United winning in their first game.
Right.
Bessart Berisha, who is well-known to all of us as a victory superstar, is back and scored, and they've scored their first win for the A-League, which is great. And there was a draw in the local derby between Victory and City, and the VAR was involved, you were telling me?
That's right, yeah. A disallowed goal. Well, it was offside late in the game. And the other thing did you read that article yesterday in The Age? There was just like a pull-out type Age yesterday about the compilation of the new team, the new Western United. There's so many different teams around at the moment. It's hard to actually get your head around
them.
But Western United, how they pieced it all together, which came together pretty quickly too.
Hey, Paul Pierce, former Boston
NBA superstar.
Celtic wants to see an all-star game in Melbourne. Would you be – there's no chance I'll be buying a ticket to that after I got sucked into that other game.
You go back again.
USA Australia stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll have an NBA All-Star game and can't get your tickets because you're going to see LeBron, you'll see Steph Curry, and you'll see James Harden. So you go and fork out your hard-earned sheets.
Yeah.
And then they slowly go, oh, by the way, no LeBron, no Steph Curry, James Harden.
Even if they were there, you wouldn't have been able to see them anyway, would you?
Yeah, well, that was a bit problematic, wasn't it?
Based on some of the, you know, the pictures that we saw of the seating arrangement.
Yes. See, there's a lot of different ideas coming through to how to treat your knee problems.
Yeah,
what have they got for you? Rapid gel. Have you tried the rapid gel?
Nope.
I'll be a new man. That's from Bird and Kahuna.
Marinated mussels. Have you had a jar of marinated mussels?
Keep reading that, Gary.
Oh, sorry. That was a trick. That was
they got you, Gary. You know what I like when you look at the machine and that's the first text message they've ever sent in.
That's the speckle text machine.
Oh, the speckle text machine.
A professor mate of mine in his 80s had stem cells injected into his crook knees. Cost $12,000 a pop, but he reckons it's like having two new knees.
That's stem cells.
Have you tried that
before? I haven't done the stem cell stuff. That's the next.
But you've tried everything else, haven't you?
I've tried everything else.
And right. You could not have continued your career without some of the stuff that you tried.
Wouldn't have got there. So there were a few years there where I was having it drained every week. I'll tell you the best thing. It's getting in the cold water and walking.
I was doing that.
In the cold water?
In the down the beach or in the cold pool. That's the best thing.
I couldn't drain the buckled rib because it was very close to some vital organs. Ian Chesterman is the chef de mission of the Olympics and Mono was for the Commonwealth Games. Thanks to Richo. Had a pretty good day on the punt on Saturday, our man.
How do you reckon it's going to affect you later in life, the buckled rib?
I'll tell you after the 8:30 news headlines when Scott McLaughlin joins us.
Welcome, mate. What have you got for us, Gary?
An off-air story I want to tell you. Sorry, I didn't realise we're back. Scotty McLaughlin's going to join us in a moment when he picks up the phone. Nick Riewoldt's with us today and he's with us tomorrow and he's with us on Wednesday through until from 7 till 9 as we try and get this trade period underway and cranked up a little bit.
Can I fire a question without notice?
Questions without notice would normally do now, but we want Scotty McLaughlin. But you can
while we're waiting for Scotty to answer his phone, though. I read the article in The Age yesterday. Peter Ryan wrote an article yesterday under the headline, Harry Madden Academy. And he's talking about the ruckman, how underrepresented they are out there. Is it time to find a ruckman who we can insert into the media so that the ruckman can get their fair share of publicity and or people can explain the ruck position? Because I think there are so many commentators out there, none of us have played ruck. I think we talk down the position far too much.
All right, we'll answer that after we speak to this man who won his first Bathurst yesterday. Jack Riewoldt's claiming his influence has had an enormous impact on him. Scotty McLaughlin is the man, and he joins us on the line. Scotty, congratulations.
Hey, guys. How are you? Thank you very much.
What an unbelievable performance. You would have been dreaming of this since you were a little boy, I'd imagine.
Yeah, this is, it's everything. It's our grand final to finally win it and, put my name on one of the greatest trophies in the world. It's, a really proud thing.
Explain to us why it is just so special, Scott, for us laymen out there that don't necessarily understand or haven't been out to the track to just appreciate how different it is. Explain to us why it is so special.
It's just, there's so many uncontrollables, Nick. You know, it's a race that goes on for 6.5 hours. You know, you've got another guy that you got to put your complete trust in to bring the car back to you in one piece. It's strategy with fuel, and if you make one mistake throughout the race, change your brakes and all that sort of stuff, potentially that can ruin the day, and you got to come back 365 days later and have another crack. And I think that's why I put it above a championship in some ways, because it's just so bloody hard to win. Credit to the team, they did a fantastic job of the stops, put us in a great strategy, and we came home with the bickies.
So it tests you both physically and it tests you mentally. Strategically, though, too, am I right in saying you just had one drop left of fuel in your car?
Yeah, I definitely didn't have enough to do a burnout. They were on to me about trying to save as much fuel as I could to get back to the pit so I could celebrate. But it was pretty tight. Everyone was on the cusp, but that last safety guard definitely helped, and we were able to save a lot of juice so I could go flat out to the end.
And Shane Van Gisbergen was hot on your tail. Could you have held him off for another lap, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think we had enough pace to do it. I feel like we had the fastest car sort of all day. It was just a matter of being in front and having that track position. And, having that, the lead in the fresh air on that final lap, that helped a lot. So, everything fell into place and we finally did it.
And Jack Riewoldt was up there. He's already claiming he played a pivotal role in your victory.
Oh, you should have seen him. He just claimed everything, didn't he? So he was down at the podium with all the punters, just having a froth, and he was loving it. So it was cool to have him involved. We cranked up Mr. Brightside in the nightclub last night, and we were both up there singing like idiots. So it was unbelievable.
Time for him to pull up, I think. Jack put you in touch with Richmond's mindfulness coach, didn't he, a few years back? And how's that helped?
Oh, unbelievable. And I think, I spoke to Emma yesterday, Emma Murray, and I feel like that the whole race was a testament to what we've been working on for the last 18 or so months. in that final lap, I had to really stay calm. And I just felt, you know, really, you know, in control the whole time. But I felt like it was a culmination of all the work that we've put in behind the scenes. And, you know, I can't thank Jack enough for putting me in touch with him and with Emma. And, yeah, look, we'll certainly never forget this one, that's for sure.
Hey, Scott, how difficult is it, given how long the race is, how difficult is it to fight against your mind just drifting off and thinking of other things?
I think it's just you're always trying to drift off and control the uncontrollables, you know, to control the stuff that you simply just cannot, you can't control. And you know, 6 hours is a long time to keep drifting off, and you can really, you stress yourself and tire yourself out a lot in that period. But, you know, I had a final stint there of 60-odd laps, which is about 2 or 3 hours in the car, and, you know, I was mentally pretty fatigued at the end of it, but I think I would have been a lot more if I didn't really focus or, you know, be sort of prepared before I got in the car.
Well, when your mind does drift, where does it go? What do you start thinking about?
Everything. You think about what it would be like to win the race, you know, what's your family thinking at the time. I know, you know, I had to quickly change it when I was in the car, but I remember thinking, you know, that last safety car, geez, you know, what if I drop this, you know, drop the ball the last lap? There's going to be a lot of unhappy people when I get back to the pit. So I had to just sort of clear my mind, and I've got techniques for that now, which I'd never had before. So, yeah, proud that I've got that now.
So what happens now, Scotty? Is it just like the mass exodus from Bathurst? They just slowly depart, or do they hang around for another day? How's it all unfold?
I think that there's still a heap of campers here. They're all sort of exiting out a little bit, but... yeah, look, they come here 2 weeks before and stay a week later as well. It's unbelievable with the pilgrimage that comes here. And yesterday was unbelievable on the podium. The amount of people and what was going on was just unbelievable. But for me, I'll head back to Sydney. I've got media days next 2 days, and you know, try and enjoy it as much as I can.
Well, it's a fantastic performance, mate. Yes, Wispy, did you?
I was just going to say, straight back into it.
Well, there's no
time to party, yeah. Gary. No time to party.
Oh, there's plenty of time to party. I've partied plenty hard last night, but I'll keep partying and just make sure I'm, you know, tip-top shape for the media.
Hey, don't do a Dustin Martin either and leave your car in the car park there.
No, I haven't got a car. I've just got a bus. I've just got to figure out how to get back home.
Okay, well done, Scotty. It's a great result.
Well done,
mate. And congratulations and good luck for the rest of the season. That's Scott McLaughlin joining us there. We've got Nick Revolt with us here until 9 o'clock, and Tim Watson here. Questions without notice. Why don't we clear a commitment here and come back with questions without notice again? Ben King recommitting to the Gold Coast Suns at the end of 2021. What's that mean for the Gold Coast Suns? Let's discuss that and other things. Questions without notice after the break.
Never.
Oh, welcome back on a
never
well,
ever.
What is
never
now
ever
become a reasonably interesting morning given. That broke in on this program, Ben King, 2021. He's committed for a further 2 years. Everyone, and I'm saying everyone, the footy world had him going to St Kilda at the end of next year. That is a big story. It's huge for the Gold Coast Suns. Ben King's going to be on this station at 10:30 this morning. He'll be on SEN at around 10:30 this morning. The people that look after Benny King would love to have a chat with us this morning, and fair enough too, they want Mark Evans to be given that honour to be the first to speak on it. And you got to beat your chest when you pull off a coup like that. I don't know the details of it. All I know is that he's a super talent, and they've got him committing there at a club where retention has been an issue.
Well,
so,
particularly beat your chest when it was inevitable, really. Everyone was viewing it as inevitable that he was going to leave at the end of next year.
He was going to St Kilda.
You package him up with Rao and Anderson, who we all expect to go 1 and 2 in the draft, and all of a sudden, if, and that's going to be the if, isn't it? If they can keep them together, which they haven't been able to do, but they haven't had the people in place like a Mark Evans to be able to try and really build
that culture. Retention's the issue, and they've retained one of the hottest prospects in the game. Well done to them. That announcement will be officially made, broken in this morning.
I raised the question first up, the question without notice about Ruckman and what they're doing. Luke Darcy, his name has come through loud and clear. So what's Luke Darcy not doing if he's not getting the publicity out there for the Rucks? What's he not doing well
enough? You're the one who's saying he's not doing anything.
No.
You said there's no Ruck presence in the media.
That's true.
None.
Could Max King have done any more last... Max King. Max Gawn? Could he have done any more
No, Tim's talking about a media presence.
I'm talking about a somebody out there. We've got the Ruck Whisperer that's been on our program, Steve Talbot.
See, that's a fair slap.
But there's no one else out there that's really beating the drum for the Ruckman.
That's a real slap
and breaking down the craft.
You've given Luke Darcy.
Yeah, I knew you'd take it there.
You've slapped him right down.
He needs to lift his game if that's the case.
I won't be surprised if he responds.
Okay, I've got a question for you, Gary. What do you expect Stephen May to be doing right now?
Running. Wherever he goes, just run.
Send him up to Buller.
Here's a question for both of you.
Right.
How, as is expected, Matthew Nix will be announced as the coach of the Adelaide Crows either today or tomorrow. That's been reported. How long will he need, given the circumstances at Adelaide, for us to be able to determine whether or not he's going to be a good coach?
He's going to need a number of years. I would say 3 to 5 years.
How long would you appoint him for?
I'd go three.
Yeah, I mean, he's taken over a footy club that has had an upheaval, the likes of which we haven't seen for a little while, which is fair enough given the circumstances. But he's going to need a little bit of time to get his feet under the desk and make the necessary changes. But good on him if, as reported, and I think you alluded to here on this program only 2 weeks ago, that Matthew Nix is the coach of the Adelaide Crows.
Can you guys see a situation? So on the back of Ben King being extended for a further 2 years, and we are assuming that would be for a reasonable whack of money, and if they get their young draftees, pick one and two, under lock and key for 4 years on good money.
Which Tim told us that about 4 weeks ago.
Can you see a situation where the AFL allow Gold Coast to have a salary exemption?
I can. I think that they can introduce whatever they like whenever they like to maintain what they're trying to build up there on the Gold Coast.
I'd hope they don't, Nick. In answer to your question, but I couldn't be confident in saying that.
Mm. But they can, can't they?
Well, they make the rules. They can do what they like.
This is their expansion team. Well, they want it to work.
And in a sense, that's when we heard that Tom Lynch was maybe going to be paid as an AFL ambassador. I mean, essentially, that's
what it is.
That's what it is, isn't it? That's just paying extra money to not count it as in the salary cap, but it's extra money for the players.
Can you see them doing that?
Yeah, I hope it doesn't happen because we're already compromised enough.
Do you think that? Yeah, we're all complimentary of what's taken place, and Ben King has recommitted. But does that create some sort of a problem down the track again for them if what we're hearing is correct and they are paying him a lot of money
to stay up there?
No, but I would think they are. Like you've got to be opening up your
well. Then it'll depend on what Ben King saying, does okay, next year.
Yeah, and you're paying it on the potential that he's already shown.
Yep.
But potentially that creates another problem, does it?
I've heard others talk about this. Ben King to Carlton or Collingwood, for instance, is probably $500,000. That would be a good whack. Ben King to the Gold Coast is placed at a higher premium because of who they are.
But it does blow your relativities out. Of course it does.
Well, the whole thing blows your relativities out because Mav Weller goes for pick two last year. Mav Weller's not a pick two.
Lockie Weller.
He's not a pick two in anyone's business, but they needed players. So,
But then that paints you into a corner. What Nick's talking about.
Depends how well you set your club at and how well you sell it to your players to say, okay, we know this is overs. We know this is not the realities of where we're at, but understand where this club is at, buy into this, and it'll all even itself out.
The trouble will come if a player that they don't anticipate being a great player and they haven't factored that in, well, all of a sudden they elevate into elite status and there's nothing left. There's no more pieces of the pie. Then retention becomes an issue again.
Would you rather, and I want your honest answer to this because I'm not sure Wisp, you always give me one. Would you rather have a Group 1 winner or a home and away win if you're an AFL footballer?
I'd rather have because I'm not as big into the racing game as you.
A Group 1 winner.
Home and away win.
I'm a Group 1 winner or a home and away win.
Hold on. What percentage of the horse have you got?
It's your horse.
The whole horse?
Yeah. Group 1 winner.
But that's fine. But
answer the question.
No, I am. I'm footy.
You'd rather win a home and away game?
A home and away game every day of the week.
Nick?
I'm completely committed to my craft.
Nick?
Yeah, give me the Group 1. You make up for it next week. You just Revolt can't win next week.
I can't believe that both of you have that attitude.
Just win next week.
That's the headline.
It's 22 games in a year.
I'd rather win a horse race than win a home and away game. One more each, quick.
Okay, the NBA, all about free speech. Unless it interferes with their potential to make a lot of money, and they've become very mealy-mouthed about their China and free speech. Okay, should they step up to the plate, the NBA, or should they protect their business?
I think you can do both. I think you can do both. So I think you can agree with the sentiment of free speech. So we're talking about Daryl Morey, the
General Manager,
the GM for the Houston Rockets, coming out with a tweet about supporting Hong Kong. Yep. I don't disagree with what he said. I mean, who's not against freedom for people? I mean, that is a basic human right.
Precisely.
But whether he should have said it in his capacity and the fallout, I mean, that's the balancing act, isn't it?
But aren't the NBA champions of free speech?
They are.
Don't they love the fact that we're a bit different?
But of course there's...
Until
the bottom line gets a hit.
Of course.
All of the money. Hey, I've got a little bit here of the press conference from the Gold Coast Suns. This is their...
announcement?
Their GM.
Yeah, Mark Evans.
Mark Evans making the announcement today.
Just before he beat his chest.
Yes.
Wisp, you're on fire. Okay, so let's update the leaderboard for the prestigious, time-honoured Scotty Palmer medal. One vote. This is attribution too for those papers or anyone else out there. This is how you do attribution. So Tommy J. Clark, one vote. Telling us that Brisbane small forward Lewis Taylor set to sign at Sydney for 3 years. So we give
J. Clark, Herald Sun.
Herald Sun, J. Clark. Two votes. Tom Brown, Triple M, two votes. Ace to Frio. And the first to float, Matthew Nix, way back as the Adelaide coach.
Tommy.
So on 7 News he did that.
At 7 News, but Triple M the other. And then three votes to David Zeta, who this morning was the one that broke the story about Ben King. He broke it. So I'm just looking at Herald Sun.
Are you giving him three?
No attribution.
How excited he is.
Herald Sun signs locking King on New Deal. No attribution. But anyway, that's where it came from Zeta. So three votes
to him.
Well
done, David.
So good work to him. And look at him. Isn't he proud out
there?
He's
very happy.
So the leaderboard stands at Mitch Cleary, Mark McGowan, Edmund Barmer, and Zeta, Gleeson and Tom Brown and Jay Clark on the board today.
I wonder what he'll come with tomorrow.
Right. Something. He better come
something.
With something.
Something.
So don't forget Tom King. Ben King will talk at 10:30 on SEN this morning. Is that broadly or is that with SEN? Just with SEN at 10:30 a.m. this morning. So you'll find out all the details. And, you know, the questions asked, why would you commit? Well, you'll find out when you listen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do Fox take us right up to your channel? Do they take us right up to 7:30, the deadline on Wednesday night?
I think it is going to be televised.
It's going to be televised.
Yes,
indeed.
Do you think the AFL will be wanting a deal to be sort of held back late in the piece so that there's a little bit of excitement?
A big reveal?
Right at the end, right at the very end.
Of course they will.
We got the Dylan Shill one last year.
They'll have
about
someone running down the corridor.
With the paperwork.
With the flapping it in the air going, I've got a deal done, hold it up. Nicholas, you're very nice work boy. You're going to be back tomorrow.
Can't wait.
Hey, do some homework. Find out.
I will.
Else
well, hopefully something happens today.
It will. I don't think there's any question it'll start. Hello.
I just got a text message from Sam Edmund. Given what David Zeta's done today, he'll definitely be in tomorrow.
I'm sure he'll be back tomorrow morning. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock.